Our scripture this morning comes from Luke 13, 10 through 14. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." As my dad was growing up, my grandfather always worked hard. He always did what he had to do, and so my grandfather worked 60 hours a week, 6 days a week. The only day off he had was Sunday. And on Sunday, they would go to church. They were a Catholic family. They would show up 3 minutes late and leave 3 minutes early. I get it. My dad was one of 5 siblings, so to go to all of the events that my grandparents would have had to go to for their kids was not possible, and so it was actually quite rare with my grandfather working and my grandma taking care of my dad was the middle child, and so there were 2 kids younger than him. My grandma was often organizing the house and taking care of the things that had to happen there, and so my dad often biked himself to a football game or a wrestling match or whatever he had to do. And so my dad appreciated what they were doing to make life work. And yet as he grew up, he did not want to live in the same way. He learned from his own experience that he wanted to be present for me and my brother and sister as much as possible. The thing is, my dad was a police officer until he retired. And every time he would move up in rank, there would be a reset of time, and he would go back to the bottom of the list. What that meant is there was a shift that was for afternoons, that was 4 p.m. until 3 a.m. There was a shift that was nights, which was starting at midnight, going until 9 a.m. And also there was a shift that was the day shift, that was the usual 8 to 5 workday. And oftentimes there would be a all people are expected rule on holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, and other times that would be really special for families. My dad was called into work for at least a portion of that time. Yet even in the busyness of his schedule, as he continued to go up in rank, he would try to be very intentional with his kids whenever he was home. And so on the time that he was on afternoons, he would come home at 3 a.m., and there's stories of my dad going into my sister's room and waking her up. I don't get it now that I have a 16-month-old. But he would go and play with my sister at 3 a.m. almost every night. And there were stories of him staying to share a meal with us before he had to go to bed. My mom and dad were a strong team together. They worked well with one another, and us kids had no idea what they were going through. Now that I can reflect on it, I'm sure it was a very difficult season for them in their lives. But both were intentional. By the time I was end of middle school, going into high school, my dad was a sergeant, and he was finally on the day shift. And so by the time I was in high school, my parents were coming to every soccer game, every band concert, every play, as often as possible that they could, which was most of them at that time. My dad knew what my grandfather had to do, but he wanted it to be different for all of us. And so he made some choices along the way to do so. My mom always had us at church on Sunday morning, and when my dad's schedule allowed, when he was able to, based on timing, he was there too. And they ingrained our faith into our lives. Again, by high school, my parents and all of us were always at church. It was about when I was 8 years old that my mom decided to answer a call to ministry. She knew that she was also supposed to be a pastor. And so I was about 10 years old when my mom went through seminary and started a student pastorship at my home church. When my mom answered her calling, it was not a yes or no, can we do this, but it was a how and when. But they were able to figure it out. They chose to prioritize as much as possible family and faith. But even then, they sacrificed a lot to do so. Some was based on their career. My mom waited until she was over 40 to go to seminary and become a pastor. And my dad, who had become a sergeant at the youngest age of the Warren Police Department that had ever become a sergeant, he decided to never take the next test to become a lieutenant. And that's because he knew that it would mean starting over. And he knew that it would mean years and years and years of being on nights and being on afternoons, and he knew that that meant for his kids that he wouldn't always be present. They also sacrificed a bit of their own personal lives just to be able to care for me and my brother and sister. They were able to find some, but not all, balance. All of us fail to find a perfect balance in our lives between our personal health, our relationships, our work, and our faith. This time in particular, fall, a lot of that gets reset. It does for me, at least. When children are returning to school and the slowness of summer begins to break away and everything starts to speed up, more and more falls onto our plates. Some of you may say, I never slowed down. So that breakneck pace of work and stress hasn't changed, but is constant. Others of us have a particular season that we're living through in our lives right now, whether it's changing jobs or moving or personal family trauma or other things that change how we can interact with what's going on in our lives day to day. Sometimes we set up this unrealistic expectation that we can find that perfect balance, that we can be constantly fulfilled. And other times we feel completely like that's not even a possibility. We feel lost in our own schedule, so it's hard to see a way out of the mundane and life-sucking busyness of our lives. But we're reminded that truthfully, not either of those is a perfect reality. Our current place is not our final destination. What tweaks we can make, not to let go of responsibilities, but instead to begin to prioritize our lives back into the way that leads us to joy and faith and relational strength, is essential. The truth is, it's a little bit hard when we look at the example of Christ. You know, he was man and God incarnate, so it's hard to compare ourselves to that. He also worked on his days off on the Sabbath. But the truth is, Christ gives us a good example of the ways that we are called to live. And so we encounter our scripture today, a story of Christ healing on the Sabbath. As a woman he encounters is walking past, she doesn't even call out to him for healing, but instead he says, "You will be healed." This is actually in the Gospel of Luke the third time that Christ is called out for healing on the Sabbath. And already in the story of Luke, it's highlighted the tension between Christ and the church of Israel at that time. Because Christ continues to challenge some of the established laws and rules in order to establish a new law, a new rule of love and purpose. So we see this story, and it says Christ is not able to rest on the Sabbath. The truth is, all throughout the story of the Bible, there are other times when Christ does endorse rest. We'll talk about that more in a few weeks. And Christ talks about a Sabbath. He invites time to be away with his disciples and followers, and he breaks bread with them, and he goes away into seclusion and teaches. And so it's not that Christ is saying never rest or never take Sabbath. But instead, in this scripture in particular, Christ is saying, I do not endorse the hypocrisy to say that I cannot heal on the Sabbath when this woman is in need. In fact, right after this passage, there's a four-verse argument as to why Jesus has healed this woman on the Sabbath. And a little bit of this makes me uncomfortable because of the analogy between an ox and a donkey and a woman. But the purpose is there. Christ essentially says, would you not unleash your ox or donkey on the Sabbath? All I have done is taken this woman who has been crippled for 18 years, and I have unleashed her from what has bound her to being crippled. So he's essentially saying, we're both doing the same thing. Christ says there's absolute power in healing, and sometimes when you break the rules, it's purposeful and it has value. What is more important? Which day of the week to pause or the life-healing action? How can we too try to live with purpose? To show balance between doing what is needed but also doing what is right and good for our faith and our life and the world around us. Again, some of us may feel like that balance is impossible, but when we turn to that example of Christ, it gives us some meaning. We are called to be intentional and act with purpose whenever we can. We are called to see the opportunity to provide healing for ourselves and also for our relationships, and to be intentional with those relationships. We are called to be unleashed by a Christ who loves us and calls us to love. We don't have to live with the crippling forces in life that make us believe that balance is impossible. That doesn't mean that we are not going to work. Christ is working. Christ is working hard. That's the reality of most of our lives, but it is what we do with the moments in the midst of the work and the moments when we are able to pause from working that determine value in our lives. We can also find rest in what we're doing. When you are feeling joyful, when you are doing something that is meaningful to you, work doesn't always seem so daunting. We can try to find fulfillment in what we do. We can try to find purpose in the day-to-day actions, in the ways that we can build one another up, in the ways that we can relate with others, in the ways that we can make simple choices that benefit others. I also would encourage you, like Christ did, to find community with others who are experiencing similar things in their lives. For me, I have a clergy covenant group of other young pastors. And each time we get together and we sit in a room together and we talk about the amazing things that are happening in life and we talk about some of the challenges that are happening in life. But what that does on a monthly basis for us is give us a space to be accountable to one another, to say, what are you doing to find rest? What are you doing to find joy? What are you doing to find purpose in your ministry? The truth is, for all of us, there is a similar community. There is someone else that is living through the same stage of life or the same work that you can rely on and lean on to help provide a little bit of that accountability and care for you as well. I do think we need to also find joy in some of those mundane things, even if it's easy as making a choice to eat outside for a lunch meeting, or maybe network with someone who inspires you. There's got to be somebody that you don't know yet that you want to know more. You can reach out and build a connection. I think we all need to find a time to reflect. We need to reflect faithfully on what our faith means to us, but we also need some time for introspection about what's happening in our lives. What are the things we can tweak or change so that we are happier? And I think we need to all find time to read the good news of the Bible that reminds us over and over and over that we are imperfect, but the Bible is also filled with imperfect people, and God loves them deeply and uses them. We also are loved by God deeply, and we too can be used to help others to know they're loved as well. There's a way to be present in each and every situation. that we can live in a way that recognizes how we can grow and move. I think overall, when we think about joy and happiness in life, we also need to find a way to be active. This can be taking a walk. This can be exercising. This can be joining a club with other people who are trying to do the same thing. Be active. But really, we need to do things that we find to be valuable as often as we can. We need to find a way to help others. Sometimes we talk about worship plus two. That's coming to worship and then doing something in our own lives that is meaningful for our faith life. But it's also the other act of doing something for others that is purposeful. And last, I want you to evaluate and think about what you can do in your life that brings you joy. What is the last thing that you've done that has brought you joy? I want you to turn to your neighbor and share one joyful thing you've done in the last, we'll say, week or two. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor. All right, what are some of the things that you did this last week or two to bring you joy? Let's hear. Go ahead and shout them out. Became an aunt, that's right. Grandchildren. Spending time with friends. Yep. Go to a movie. I see you go on a bike ride, I think I heard. Volunteer at Brightmore. Awesome. Your son had a birthday. Awesome. Camping. Awesome. If you couldn't think of something immediately, then I want to say to you, this afternoon from 4 to 6, we're going to have an event here at the church. We're going to have a blues band here on the stage, G. Mumbiro and the Hudat Blues Band. G, he's back there with his daughter. He's going to be bringing blues to the stage right here. We're going to have games. We're going to have a lot of opportunities. That's 4 to 6. It's going to be inside. If you had even a moment of hesitation, this is going to be a fun afternoon, so I invite you to come and be here. We got rid of the dunk tank, so for our clergy, it's going to be even more fun. Sean was really upset when we got rid of the dunk tank. He was, yeah. But there are ways that we can be successful in life by being mindful of the ways that we can live with joy, we can live with purpose, we can try to do our best in each moment to find rest in the joyful things, but also we can help others and find value in that as well. This morning we have this frame up here, and in the center of that frame is a symbol of yin and yang. Now, the traditional symbol of yin and yang is from Taoism and Taoism, and it represents the shadow and the trough of a wave and femininity, and on the other side, it reflects growth and brightness. I'm just going to go ahead and say, we're not using it in that way. We've messed up yin and yang a little bit in the true meaning of what it is. But for us this morning, the symbol of this and the circles that you see are to represent the balance of life, the ways that one side often is purpose and spirituality, value and vitality, and sometimes the other side of that feels like there's the pull apart is our work and our busyness and our stress and anxiety. And the truth is those are never clearly defined. Some of those things are always tied together in some way. And so the symbol is relevant. What I would like you to do this morning, what I would invite you to do, is to take a moment and think about what it is in your life that you could tweak or change. You may not be able to change the responsibilities in your life dramatically, but maybe there is some way that you can reframe this week to find a little more joy, a little more purpose, a little more life-giving spirituality. And so what I want you to do is take a moment in your seat and think about what is that one, and if you have a list of five, that's awesome, but what is at least that one thing in your life that you can change to try to rebalance so that we can see faith and joy and live into our relationships with purpose. Think about it. When you're ready, I invite you to come up. I'll show you. I'll do mine. Ooh, orange is my favorite color. I'm like one of six people ever. And what I want you to do is to paint the other side of the circle as a reminder that we may not be perfectly there, but we're working on the ways that we can balance life. I invite you to think, and then when you're ready, come up and paint part of the circle. I encourage you, if you have yet to paint a side of the circle and are interested in doing that, you can do it at any time. You can do it in the last song. You can do it after worship. What I would invite us to do now is to bow our heads and pray together. Eternal God, you remind us that even in our busyness, we can find you and we can live out our faith. God, help us to see the ways that we can change what is changeable. And in the other things that cause us stress and anxiety, that we can see a way to find purpose in building relationships, in finding the ways that you are working in the world around us, and in reaching out to others so that they may know you as well. God, as we go forth from this place into the busyness of fall, help us to do so with a confidence that you are present in all things. In your holy name we pray. Amen.